On Thursdays, we read from your emails.
And we'll start with comments about two stories on gender and sexuality we featured yesterday. We heard about the controversial ex-gay movement, which prompts gays and lesbians to overcome their homosexual tendencies with counseling and therapy. We also heard from a city manager in Florida who was fired after his plans to have a sex change operation were made public.
The first story brought in quite a bit of negative response. These thoughts from Phoebe Judge of Ithaca, New York, are typical. The story was insulting and condescending to gay people. Would you run a story like this if churches were encouraging people of color to pretend to be white? Gay people know we are being persecuted. We do not need NPR to provide narrow-minded pieces to remind us that there are parents who continue to mourn for their gay children.
Michelle's interview with Steve Stanton, the former city manager of Largo, Florida, generated this comment from Allison H. She asks that we not use her last name because she fears that, like Stanton, she could lose her job.
Allison H. writes this: "Thank you for treating this person and the issue of gender reassignment with respect. I am one of the many people who spend some of my time as my non-biological gender. Thankfully, many workplaces are more accepting of gender change than the city of Largo. I can only hope the residents of Largo will take some time to consider whether they need to pry into the details of their manager's life and the likelihood that Steve will be able to continue to function as an effective manager. Indeed, that is the only real question to ask."
We asked an oil industry analyst for his perspective on the draft oil law the Iraqi cabinet approved this week. The law will open up the country's oil production to investment by international companies.
Nina Robertson of Princeton, New Jersey, was unhappy with our coverage. She writes, "Without a doubt, there will certainly be negative effects from such investment. But a consultant contracted to advance oil interests in the region will certainly not reveal them or give the public an accurate picture of the risks and benefits to the Iraqi people. Such bias is acceptable if it is exposed and balanced by other perspectives. Neither of these conditions existed, and all things considered's integrity was compromised."
Last week, we featured two stories I reported from Killeen, Texas, and Fort Hood. More than 600 soldiers from that base have died since the Iraq War began. And the stories of those left behind brought in lots of mail.
Corey Blackshear of Chemung, New York, writes this: "I want to thank you for telling the human side of the story on behalf of the soldiers and families who serve every day in so many ways. I am a military wife and former soldier stationed at Fort Drum, New York. When my husband and I first started dating, I was taken away to Iraq. When I returned, we got married and had 3 weeks together before he left for Afghanistan, where he was just extended an extra 4 months. My story is not unique in the military."
Brett Gerritsen of Clarksville, Tennessee, had mixed emotions when he heard my reports. He writes, "Thank you for stories that really touch on who we are in the Army. It's hard to get across the reasons why we do what we do. I have just recently returned from Iraq, my third combat deployment. It was morally crushing to know before I stepped off the airplane that I would be deploying yet again to Afghanistan in a little over a year. So why do most of us do what we do? For some, it is because this is all that they know, and they fear a change to another job. Others, to include myself, are waiting for retirement and hope that we do not perish before we get to that day when we don't leave our families. It is a hard life, and I am not encouraging my children to follow in my footsteps. Thank you again for capturing the emotions of being a soldier."
Whether you want to thank us or berate us, we want to hear it. Go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.